Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for blade lovers to learn about knives and hear from the makers, manufacturers, and reviewers that make the knife world go round. Coming up, a nice, big, modern traditional from Rosecraft. We're going to take a look at a new knife from me by TKL. So excited about that. And then a long look at my full tang favorites.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome back to the show. Lots of comments this week, lots of great ones, but this one really gave me a good idea. And this is from Trent Costello on a past Knife Junkie Podcast. This was Favorite Knives of 2022 from right around January. And he says, I wish you had a fixed blade channel and a dumb folder channel. Everything I start watching, I leave because of the note. So I know I missed some cool fixed blades, but not worth watching. Okay, so I'm pretty sure I know what he's saying here. And he's getting at the fact that he loves fixed blade knives and folders to him are not interesting. And seeing this at first, I was like, well, doesn't everyone love everything? I mean, then I realized not everyone is a knife junkie. You know, some people have more specific tastes. And this made me think that I would love to do a show, and maybe it'll be next week, about variety being the spice of life. And this is me saying to Mr. Costello, yes, but have you considered? And then show him some of the real wide variety of the stuff I have in my collection. And I've been wanting to do that for a while, but this really kind of put the fire under my feet to do so, just to show off how some of us are knife users and we only have the need for a fixed blade knife. Maybe we camp a lot. Maybe Mr. Costello camps a lot and sees no need for folders. But to me, it's such a wide, beautiful world of edge tools and whether they're weapons or tools or pocket jewelry. There's a lot of great stuff to appreciate. So I hope Trent takes a look at the Variety is the Spice of Life episode that'll be coming shortly to see, you know, even some of this historical stuff on the wall behind me is worth having. You don't have to have a ton of them, but, you know, to really immerse yourself in the hobby of knife collecting, yeah, maybe he'd be interested. So Trent, that one will go out to you, sir. Thank you for commenting and thank you one and all for watching and commenting. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. This past weekend, I had a date night with my wife, which was great. We don't have the opportunity to do that too much. And actually, it came from losing a bet. I was so sure about something, and it had to do with an actor / celebrity. And I should have known years ago, you never start an argument about that particular topic with my wife. But I claimed a certain actor was in something, and she swore up and down. And I was like, I know you're wrong. She said, let's make a bet. Date night, you set it up. And, well, she pulled out the Googleator and I lost immediately. We ended up going to this great theater and seeing a second run of Everything, All the Time, All at Once, Oscar winning movie. And man, it does live up to its name. It was quite chaotic. And, I thought I'd get more out of it than I did. And on the way home, I said, you know, there was this movie playing at the same theater called 65, where Adam Driver stumbles upon a planet full of dinosaurs. And she was like, yeah, we should have seen that. And I thought, man, I married the right woman. I think that at least once a day, and date night proved it this weekend. So Everything All at Once, curious to see what other people think of that movie. Anyway, all that being said, I think it's time for a pocket check. Today, in my front right pocket, I had the beautiful Dirk Pinkerton-designed Night Horse. This is the asymmetrical version. Asymmetrical is their mid-tier line, the Beyond EDC mid-tier line. And I find this to be a really beautiful modern interpretation of the classic Spanish Navaja. I have the G10 version, which is outstanding. It's a great, great knife. It's G10 and 14 C28N, and it's only $30. but I could not pass up the opportunity to get this beauty right here. This was from a prototype sale that Dirk Pinkerton did, and I really always wanted to get the titanium version, and did so when the offer popped up. And man, I do love this knife. So carried this one today, and this had cut. I used this to cut a big loaf of the Boudin's bread I keep talking about, that sourdough bread. This just sort of powered through it with that long 4-inch plus blade. It wasn't a street fight to reclaim my honor, as Navajas were originally used once swords were unavailable and illegal to the average Spanish citizen. But it did vanquish the bread quite well. So happy to have that in my pocket. Today I also carried the beautiful Venom Jack by Jack Wolf Knives, with that gorgeous blue lava carbon fiber. This is one of the camo carbons. Just a beautiful knife with that. This is S90V, high height, full height, hollow ground Warncliffe blade. Just astoundingly beautiful and a great, great cutter. And I love the tip down. The Warncliffe tip is naturally going to be down there. But I love the downward rake of the edge, really kind of pushes materials into the cut and puts the tip in an even more convenient spot. I love this knife. Hadn't carried it in a little while because I've been focused on the Javelina Jack, which is, by the way, a great cigar cutter. I know I need to get a cigar cutter, legit one, but these Jack Wolf knives are so thin and so nice. They do the job really, really well. So I had that in my front pocket as well, front left pocket for most of the day. Changed it up a little bit with the fixed blade carry. And today, instead of the Nova 1, I had the 1558 Revere on me from the 1558 Knife Company. This is Josh Fisher. He's a master smith, master blade smith, and I got this at Blade Show 2022. Love this knife. That recurve is beautiful. I don't carry it as much as I should. I find that my hogtooth knives are frequently kicking everything else out of the belt. This one is great because of that thin handle and it's rounded at the top, so it doesn't poke the ribs or the spare tire. And I love the recurved blade. The one thing that stops me from carrying this all the time is the fact that the sheath, which is really nice, is just a little too tight. But I have been trying to work it out and, you know, put the knife in, pull it out, put it in, pull it out, and sort of loosen it up that way. And that's been working pretty well. Last up for emotional support, today I had the Rockwall by Tactile Knives. This is an early review copy there. You can see the RS on the blade there. That's review sample, I guess that stands for. But just a beautiful knife. It flips so nicely. That milling is outstanding. And was very, very happy to have this in my pocket today. I haven't carried this one in a little while. A great, great cutter. I love the swedge on this. It's got an aggressive drop point. If such a thing exists, it exists right here on that knife. You know, I always talk about drop points being kind of, you know, the all arounder, and frequently they don't seem too aggressive to me, but something about that knife and the point of it, really make for an aggressive knife. Small enough to fit in an old Wrigley's 5-stick gum pack. Is the Rockwall. And, I think that's a cool design requirement that they had for that. So that's what I had in my pocket. I had the Tactile Rockwall. I had the 1558 Revere. Gotta say it like that. Revere. I had the beautiful Jack Wolf Knives, Venom Jack. These things, I gotta say, are fingerprint magnets. That does drive me a little bit nuts from time to time. Definitely not a deal breaker. And then the Night Horse by Asymmetrical. Also want to remind you that the Nova One pre-order is live. We have a good amount of knives going out, and I'm excited about that. It is live for until the 31st of March, and we stop at 50 or March 31st. So get on it now. All you got to do is go to theknifejunkie.com/Nova One. I've been posting a lot of little love letter videos to that knife. The other day I was driving through the parking lot at work, rushing back to work, and I saw a nice patch of sun. I had to stop, pull out, and show off how beautiful the burgundy micarta is in the sunlight. So hope you got to check that out. Get on it. The Nova One. Do you want an EDC pocket bowie? I think you do. Made 100% in America by Matt Chase of Hogtooth Knives up there in Massachusetts. Check it out. All right. Still to come on the Knife Junkie podcast, we're going to take a look at some knife life news, and then we'll hit up the state of the collection.
If you're a knife junkie, you're always in the market for a new knife, and we've got you covered. For the latest weekly knife deals, be sure to visit theknifejunkie.com/knives. Through our special affiliate relationships, we bring you weekly knife specials on your favorite knives. Help support the show and save money on a new knife. Shop at theknifejunkie.com/knives. That's theknifejunkie.com/knives.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
I love how many times we hear the word knife in this podcast. Okay, so as is sort of par for the course lately, Rosecraft has another knife out. And yeah, I've been liking the look of some of these unique slip joints, but this one, to me, just takes the cake. It is really damn cool. It's called the Castoria, and it's designed by Andy Armstrong, one of their founders over there at Rosecraft. And this is a true blend of traditional and modern. First of all, we look at it, we see all the traditional stylings of a Barlow with the really nice spear point blade, bellied spear point blade, and then we have the faux bolster, which is a pretty nice large Barlow style bolster, and the shield. And then we see, what is that thing protruding from the ricasso of that blade? Yes, it's a flipper, and that thing just northeast of the pivot, yes, that is a button lock. So this is their second button lock. The first one also designed by Andy Armstrong called the Skink. The Skink. But this one is, that's a 4-inch blade. That's a 3.9-inch blade on this sucker. I'm compelled by this one. This one is the first Rosecraft that, I don't know. I really think it's a successful marriage of the contemporary and the traditional. So I'm really looking forward to checking this one out. I say that every time I talk about Rosecraft, but this time I mean it. So at Blade Show, if this isn't in my hot little hands before Blade Show, I will definitely be stalking the Rosecraft table just to check everything out, because I've looked at all the designs and we've talked about them here, and they are interesting and they are compelling, but this one definitely, I think, is the same but different. This one really does do something new, so I want to check this out. That's called the Castoria by Rosecraft, and I have on my notes here, yes. So, yes to the Castoria. Next up, a resounding yes to Spyderco, especially lately for me, having gotten the lightweight S110 in my hands here, the Mannix. This is the lightweight version of the Lil Native. We saw the Native Chief come out and get the lightweight treatment. These are all announcements from the Amsterdam meetup, and this is where we hear about what's going to be new from Spyderco. And as if it needed it, the Lil Native has gotten the lightweight treatment. Now, the Lil Native has always been pretty lightweight because it's so darn small. It's had a compression lock version, it's had a slip joint version, and now it will be coming out in its classic and original lockback in terms of the lock. But it will have the bidirectional FRN texturing, it will have the loop over wire pocket clip, and this will be S30V. That's a 2.45-inch blade and 1.55 ounces. So barely there, but super capable knife from Spyderco. Man, I don't know. I'm grateful that they exist. Spyderco, even though sometimes I haven't paid much attention to them, it's good knowing they're there, that they're an American company, that they're making a lot of stuff in America, and just great knives. And the thing that I keep hearing from those who know, no one heat treats their steels like Spyderco. And as far as I see, no one innovates with steels as much as Spyderco. They're always coming out with something new and putting the latest and greatest steels on their knives, which I appreciate. However, they do have a new S30V. They keep coming back to it. And S30V is a fine, fine steel, don't get me wrong. But like with the Military 2, which, man, when is that going to be shipping? I want to know. But putting S30V on that long-awaited revamping is a strange choice to me. Anyway, that's the little native going lightweight. All right, next up, Topps Knives. You know, they have this tradition of putting into production designs created by their employees. They're employees that are not designers. And this new one is cool. This is coming from an employee in their logistics and procurement department called Anya, or Anna, I don't know, I exotified it. It's Anna. And Anna has created this clip point meat or animal hunting processing knife. You can tell I'm a hunter, huh? But you can tell from the curved blade, that's what this is for. The curved blade and the size, that's a 3.88, so nearly 4-inch, 154 cm blade. And it is been in development since 2019. I think that's when she first designed it. And it's been in and out of research and development and tweaking. And finally, here it is with that beautiful high-vis G10, that orange G10, which is an important feature, a lot of people think, in field processing knives, because you're picking up the knife, you're using it, putting it down, picking it up, putting it down. And something could get easily lost in all of the brush and dead leaves of the woods if it doesn't have some high visibility aspect to it. Just looking at it, it looks like it's an ergonomic dream. It looks like it will fit the hand so, so nicely. And then you have all of that curve for processing, for skinning and all of that. And I like the idea of the clip point. It looks like a good place to put your forefinger as you do all that. And I've never done it. I have never field processed game, but I've watched it and I've seen how people do it. And it seems like they usually have their finger right up towards the tip of the blade. You don't want to puncture any guts and foul the meat. But that that clip there looks like a great spot to rest the finger as you do so. So looking forward to this. I think it's cool. This person, Anna, was not really that into knives, and then working at Topps over the years, but looks like she really got into it because she designed a beautiful knife. Also, it comes in a really nice looking black leather sheath. So that's coming from Topps. The Field Dog, their latest in the employee designed knives. Last up, I just want to talk about knife rights. Our good friends over at Knife Rights, Doug Ritter, is now suing the state of California. Thank you. Someone's got to sue California for, but he's suing them for a very specific reason. And I'm just going to read this one little paragraph from the Knife Rights website. In its complaint, the plaintiffs allege that the state's ban is unconstitutional. Of course, the plaintiff here is Knife Rights. And said that there can be no, quote unquote, there can be no question that knives are arms protected under the plain text of the Second Amendment. And indeed, the Supreme Court made clear that the Second and 14th Amendments protect the right to acquire, possess, and carry arms for self-defense and all other lawful purposes inside and outside the home. Unquote. In fact, automatic knives that are banned in California are widely legally possessed in at least 43 of 50 states. Doug Ritter and his attorneys over there, man, they are brilliant and they are relentless. They are pit bulls. And I love that. That's This is going to be a controversial statement, but that's the one area where I really do love pit bulls. When they fight like this for our knife rights, if you saw the dog walking video, you know what I'm talking about. But I really love that they're going after California. California, man, such a beautiful state. I mean, I question whether I've been to a more beautiful piece of land as California, but their governance is disastrous. We all know that, and it's good to see Doug Ritter and knife rights going head to head with a state that's not in its right head. Forgive me. I know if you're listening from California, you might agree with me. And this is certainly not saying anything about the citizens of California. I'm talking about the governance of California. It's just off the rails. And here is an area where a change can be made. It's been made in 43 other states. And, you know, I would say that this is a big fish to fry, and I'm glad to see that that Doug Ritter is turning up the heat on California. So we will keep our eye on that as we do all knife rights issues. If you want to help support that, you know you can go to Knife Rights anytime and support them. You don't have to do it just during the Ultimate Steal, though that is the time where you do benefit and win knives. But go over to Knife Rights and plunk down some cash and help them in the fight. All right, still to come on the Knife Junkie podcast, we're going to take a look at the state of the collection. I got two really cool new knives, and they both happen to be full tang. And then we're going to get to my full tang favorites.
Don't take dull for an answer. It's the Knife Junkie's favorite sign-off phrase, and now you can get that tagline on a variety of merchandise, like a t-shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie, long-sleeve tee, and more, even on coasters, tote bags, a coffee mug, water bottle, and stickers. Let everyone know that you're a Knife Junkie, and that you don't take dull for an answer. Get yours at theknifejunkie.com/dull, and shop for all of your Knife Junkie's merchandise at theknifejunkie.com/shop.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
Okay, first up in the state of the collection is a knife from a company that I can't believe it took me this long to acquire a knife. But it's a Tikal knife, and this is the one that originally caught my eye. Tikal knives, they specialize in combat and self-defense style knives, and this one was the one that really... Man, it shook me up when I saw it because it's a triple-edged Warncliffe. Triple-edged Warncliffe. Yes, I said it twice. This is the Guardian from Tikal Knives. And this knife is not exactly like all the other Tikal knives in that it has a very short grind. It is a very sharp and very nasty knife. You've got an edge on the top, on the front, and on the bottom here, and on the main cutting edge. But if, as you can see, the bevels are very shallow. Very shallow. And to quote Tim Kell, this is not for shaving arm hair or cutting paper. This is for putting holes in people. And big ones as quickly as possible to get them off your person in a self-defense situation. I am really impressed with this knife, and I'm gonna have to do some sort of testing on this besides paper, because I have done the standard slash it paper thing, and yeah, it works great, but so do other things. I really want to test how this diamond like tip punctures. It is wicked. I ordered it with the Black Hawk pattern handle, and that's alternating black and purple. I just think it looks beautiful. And then Tim sent along his Sentry Grip, and he makes this Sentry Grip for other knives. It's the ringed sort of karambit style handle, and you can swap them on, and that ring is G10. You can see how the ring is canted out over the full tang, so it's centered on the handle. Just beautiful. For usage and for this sort of surety in hand, I think I might be going back to just the plain handle, though, because it does have a smaller footprint there. and it does make it easier for me to carry the way I carry it. Though this is something I'm not carrying in my usual 3 o'clock position. I've been carrying it so far scout style on the front, and putting on that extra ring throws off the balance just a little. But man, it's very cool. And if you haven't noticed, he did have my logo etched in. He did etch my logo in there, which I really appreciate. Man, what an interesting guy. We just did an interview with Tim Kell, which will be coming up, this coming Sunday. And, he's an awesome dude. I had such a good time talking with him, and he designs and makes a wide breadth of self-defense and combat knives. And, man, just scratching the surface with this one. Now, if this style bevel, if you just can't get behind that because you're going to be using your knives for other things as well, like cutting cheese and maybe not cutting cheese, but you know what I mean. Slicing things, this might not be the way to go. A lot of his other knives are thin and slicey and have the qualities of knives that are a little less self-defense-y, even though they're all bent in that direction. Also, he's done a lot of cool collaborations. That push knife he's made with Steve Tirani is very cool looking. And then he's got one with a gentleman, Imri Morgenstern, who's a famous Israeli Defense Force soldier, a top-tier guy. And they created a knife called the Sapper for digging around in the ground and finding mines. That just looks so cool. So keep your eye on TKL Knives and keep your eye on the Knife Junkie podcast for an interview with Tim Kell. Next up, a young gentleman sent me a knife. He said, "Can I send this to you to check out?" I said, "Of course you can." And it is the Shed Knives knife. Now, Shed Knives is a company born in a shed. I love that because that's where probably most knife companies are born. And this is an 18-year-old man who's got a nice catalog of knives already to his name, and has already done improvements on various models. This model here is the 2023 Tonto, and it to me looks like a reverse Tonto. I have already taken this out and banged it up. I'm going to be posting shorts throughout the week of this. My daughter's helped me shoot. We had a project. My daughter has a project for school, a science fair project, and she's making charcoal filters for filtering the stream water we have close by. And we had to make charcoal, so that means we had to make fire. And so I used this to do feather sticking, and I used this for batoning through wood, and it was awesome. It worked so well. This knife is a beast. The proverbial beast we all talk about. It is about 3/16 thick, 154 cm blade steel. You know, I love 154 cm. And it's got jimping, and it also has a shallow grind, somewhat like the Tim Kell knife, though it is a higher, slicier grind. It really makes this thing great for batoning. I mean, it's just popping logs, and not logs. You know, you can't span very much with that 3-inch cutting edge, but once you get it down to you've quartered the wood, this thing flies through it and did a really great job. And then the edge itself is wickedly sharp and very, very acute. Now, if you notice the tip is a little blunted, that was my stupid fault. Yes, I can be dumb with my knives, and you know that the tips frequently pay for my stupidity. I was like, I bet I could throw this into my knife throwing target. And of course, you can throw anything at a knife throwing target. Doesn't make it a knife, a throwing knife. I did throw it. It did stick in, and then I did it again, and it dropped and somehow found a rock under the ground, because it went straight in like this, and it found a little rock, and I dinged the front. So that it did not come like that. But I am going to fix the tip just to make it acute again. You've got this protruding back tang, which normally I don't go for, but normally that's because I like the option of capping the pommel with my thumb in this sort of for this sort of motion. Incidentally, that works great the way it's shaped. It actually fits perfectly. But also, I don't find myself needing to use this knife in that way, I don't think. I did, in one of my videos, use it to smash and bash a portion of the log and dislodge a piece of the log. I didn't think it was not going to do that. It's a solid piece of 154 cm steel, but it did an awesome job. I'm very impressed by this guy's work, and I'm sorry to call him this guy. I have forgotten his name. It's right over there on a note, but I will be doing a full video on this. So beautifully done, Shed Knives. I wish you a long and prosperous life making knives. They're only going to get better from here, and man, this is pretty damn sweet. Now, he said in his letter he's going to be moving from hand-shaped G10 handles to CNC-shaped G10 handles, and said that he'll send me a set to check out. So I look forward to seeing how they differ. You can see that these are handmade, and nothing wrong with that. I love the history of a handmade knife, and but we'll see how those new scales work. So there it is, the Shed Knives. Check out Shed Knives, especially if you're outdoorsy and have any sort of outdoor use. You can see how the tang is proud of the scales all the way around. And when I first saw that, I thought, oh, that might be uncomfortable. It feels great in hand. This really is a nicely, has really nice ergonomics. So do check out Shed Knives. All right, I'm going to take this reverse tanto and put it over here. Sorry, man. I think it's a reverse tanto. You're like, I would have designed it and made it. Okay, so I want to talk about some of my full tang favorites here. Now, I have a lot of full tang knives. And, to say favorites, I guess they might rotate a bit, but I want to talk about full tang knives because in using that Shed knife this past weekend, it really occurred to me how I would feel very uncomfortable doing some of the stuff, some of the, I'm not going to say abuse, I'll just say hard use, I was putting that knife through. I have a lot of nice other sort of knives like this. This is the Boon 2 from Bark River Knives. And it is a stick tang knife, so that the tang of that blade, right after the guard, is very thin, and it goes all the way down to the butt of the knife, to the pommel, and then you put the rings of leather over it, and then that aluminum pommel, and then you fasten it. And it is strong. It is a classic style design. There's, nothing wrong with it. It is, you probably could do plenty of batoning and that kind of thing, but it does not give me the full confidence of a full tang. It's just less metal in the handle. Same goes for a tang like this in the Natchez Bowie by Cold Steel. This has a cable tang, which interestingly enough has been proven to be quite strong, style tang, where you have a stick tang coming off the blade to about center handle, and then on the handle you have a cable, like a steel cable, braided steel cable, soldered on here, and then soldered onto a threaded piece of metal here, and then it's all bolted into the pommel back there. You might ask, why would you do that? Actually, it has proven to be very strong also in the way Cold Steel makes them anyway. And you do that to reduce impact. When you're using that thing to, say, chop wood or do anything that requires impact, that cable tang in there, that piece of cable, absorbs a lot of the shock. And so that's a benefit there. But it does not leave you with the same confidence as, say, this full tang knife. This is the Western Bowie by Cold Steel, and ever since I got it, I have been crazy about this knife, using it outside, but also practicing with it, with my Kali, and then my version of Bowie knife fighting, which I've sort of ascertained through watching other people and reading some texts. On the subject, it's based kind of on saber fighting. And this design, of course, is based on the classic Western style Bowie, the Western W49. And you can see how the tang is just coming up through the handle. And it is a blade. The whole thing is one piece, and then everything is applied to it. The guard is slid down over the tang, and then secured on by the scales here. Just a really strong design. And to me, this one is an absolute beauty. It is an absolute beauty. And I think that there is some classic menace to this knife. You see this knife, it looks like a cowboy has it on his hip. And, of course, it's ready for use in all sorts of ways, whether it's camp chores or fighting, you know, like those are the only two ways. I guess you could dress game with it. I don't know. what do you think? It seems like it might be big. You might have to grip it way up here to do so. But, the strength that you get from the full tang is just pure confidence in hand. That sounds like an ad. Pure confidence in hand. But this first one, in this full tang cavalcade is the Cold Steel Western Bowie. A favorite of mine here. Next up comes from a custom maker, Dylan Grace, the Dylan Grace Blade Company, DG Blade Co. I know you know him. He's prolific on Instagram and does some really interesting knives here. This one here is his Warney scalpel, his Warncliffe scalpel, and it's a little guy, this Buckeye Burl handle. As we know, Burl is very rare and, valued very highly. So when I saw this, I bought this at Blade Show 2021 and asked him what kind of Burl it was. He said, Buckeye. I'm from the Buckeye State originally, Ohio. I had to get it. But I always had my eye on these. He's got a number of different really cool nucks and large blades, and some of them are really, big and robust. But this little scalpel blade just got me. He has it in a number of different shapes, but the Warncliffe seemed to make the most sense. This is a great utility blade. As you can see, you use that just like you would any sort of mat knife or box cutter. So if I were in a job where I had to open up a lot of boxes, like when I used to work in a warehouse at a paint shop, this would have been a dream. Of course, at that time, I never knew about that this guy didn't exist and I couldn't have afforded it. But if I had that kind of job now, I would spend the $150 or whatever this, I can't remember what this cost, to get this and use this all day long opening up boxes. Not only is the knife beautiful, this is forged. He does forged work here. Not only is the knife beautiful and very, very effective for use, but the sheath, he does these leather sheaths that are like Kydex, where he wet molds the leather, and then he has a process that he's not shy about showing off. He does show people how he does this in a number of different videos. But it locks in like Kydex. Here, I'm going to do it in front of the microphone so you can hear it. Hear that? That snap? The knives actually snap into leather. I have not seen anyone else do this. Now, I have many blades with the sort of pouch style sheath where it is wet molded around the knife and it fits in there nicely. But this, I mean, this is next level. And that's not an expression I like, but this is definitely next level. It snaps in there. And yes, it is full tang, so it is small, but you could go to town with this knife where I wouldn't feel, if this were a stick tang, being so small, I would not feel that way because the handle itself is about the size of an ordinary stick tang knife. So if you reduce that by 50% and had it running down the center, it would not be nearly as strong. This one is definitely a favorite. I would, if you're interested in this, definitely check out DG Blade Co. He makes some really cool stuff. Dylan Grace down there in Florida. All right, next up is a production knife. This is the Off-Grid Knives Backcountry Coyote. I have the original Backcountry in the blackout version, and he made, Carrie of Off Grid Knives made a whole bunch of improvements with this knife, in making it a, in its second iteration here. And he really has rounded out the handle nicely, and it has wonderful ergonomics. Feels great in hand, but the stout and sturdiness of this full tang is what makes this a true outdoors knife. I always quip that it looks like a fighting knife to me in that blade shape. And yes, you could definitely put it to that use here, but with the use of a camp knife, and that's what he designed this for, and that's what he uses his knives for. He's a camper, adventurer, outdoors type. That full tang is a definite benefit here. Love that recurve and the handle, the comfortable handle. Also, they have upgraded their sheaths to the taco style, and they really, really have a nice snap to them. Here, I'll bring this over here so you can hear that. And just a nice snap, beautiful, beautiful blade. We have an affiliate link with Off Grid, so if you're interested in Off Grid knives, use the affiliate link. That's thenifejunkie.com/offgrid, and you can get one of these, and it will put a couple of shekels in our pocket, help keep the lights on here at the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm glad he gave us this affiliate link. I love his knives. It is kind of a fighter looking knife. That is the Off Grid Knives Backcountry Coyote. Now, Coyote, of course, is referring to the color, and they have a whole Coyote line. And to me, to my eye, they're the most handsome of the Off Grid knives. Speaking of handsome, this little devil, this was my first custom knife ever. And, this is a sheath my brother made for it, but this is the Attention to Detail Mercantile, or A2D, Medium Fighter. And man alive, is it a beauty. It is a bayonet-style blade, so only a partial top edge is sharp, and then the full length of the rest of the blade is sharp, obviously, and it is hollow ground. I ordered it with those beautiful handle scales. These are what do you call that? Tortoise shell, imitation tortoise shell. You know, I don't think you can actually do real tortoise shell anymore. With the brass rivets and the brass liner. And the thing I love about this full tang, yes, you get the strength of a full tang. This is S35VN, but I love this feature. It is crowned. The whole spine, and including where the jimping is, and then the tang, it's crowned and sits proud of the scales. So it feels great in hand, and it just looks great in hand. It looks great with that crown spine, but such a beautiful knife. This will always be one of my favorites, and I don't carry this enough. It's just over my overall length. I can't really carry this very well, concealed, or I should say in the waistband, the way I like to carry it. But if I were a classy assassin, that's what I kind of call this. It's like a classy assassin's knife. I know Kaiser makes their assassin. It's a little EDC folder, but this is really what this would be. It's like a, if anyone has seen the movie The Highest Art, also called Exposure, I think, it's a knife fighting movie with Peter Coyote from the early 90s. This knife would have fit beautifully into that movie. Gorgeous, gorgeous. One of my favorite full tang knives here. Now, one of my favorite full tang knives that I carry very much on the regular is the Voodoo. The Voodoo, this is from Kramer Custom Knives. That's Eric Kramer, not Robert Kramer. Robert Kramer is a chef's knife maker, I believe. But this is Eric Kramer, and he makes some absolutely beautiful and very purpose-driven fixed blade knives that are for carry. I mean, if you notice how thin this is, it makes for a great, great carry knife, especially if you carry the way I do, which is right up next to the body in the waistband. That thin style really, really accelerates. It just makes it easy to carry. And if it's easy to carry, you're going to carry it more often And so that's why this one gets so much. Now, the I know I'm always talking Hogtooth because they are my favorite fixed blades for carry, but this one is right up there. This is 154 cm, deeply hollow ground. I asked for that secondary edge on the swedge there, and he obliged beautifully. Now, that edge, naturally, it has a much more obtuse approach, so it's more of a splitting, tearing, pressure cut kind of edge for knife fighting. Great for trapping, that kind of thing. But the primary edge here is so thin and so slicey. So it's a nice contrast. You do have that sort of obtuse and robust edge on top, and then that super thin, slicey edge on the bottom. And that upsweep. I just did a short of this one that a lot of people have commented on. A lot of people love this knife. And yeah, I do too. I think it's outstanding. And he calls it a Persian. I call it a Bowie or a clip point. But who's, you know, who are you going to trust? Him or your lying eyes? So, very nice Persian knife from Eric Kramer. Okay. Next up, this was a gift from my wife. I told you earlier how much I love my wife, and there are many, many reasons. Many, many, many reasons. And this is a minor one, but it's definitely a one. And this is the Topps Wild Pig Hunter. I put it down here with the sheath because that full grain leather sheath is just so beautiful. Man, I love when Topps does leather. So here's the knife. And it's barely fitting on the screen here. There it is. This knife is full tang, quarter inch thick, but it has a distal taper and really kind of... Well, it remains thick right down to the point. Actually, it's not so much of a distal taper. It's very, very much more at the point. But you get this very rigid build here with this swedge. It's not a swedge that comes to a gradual full thickness. It's a swedge that drops down and then has a 90 degree turn and then goes to the full thickness. So it's kind of like an I-beam, super, super rigid for, you know, jamming through the tough hide of a charging boar. At least that's how I see it. I know most boar hunting with a knife or with a spear happens with dogs, you know, holding the pig down and then you go up and you shiv it. Not like it's easy. I'm not even suggesting that. It's a very, very dangerous way to hunt. And actually, it is a way I've always wanted to hunt. I would love to, you know, in, I guess this is a bucket list item, but it would be cool to go hog hunting with a spear. I always thought it'd be cool with a spear. It'd be a bit like Odysseus. You know, he's got that scar on his leg from boar hunting. And that's the way when he's dressed up, when he's disguised by Athena to look like an old man, that's how his old nursemaid knows it's him. From that scar on his leg from the boar hunt. When he was 12, you know, they built people stouter back in the day. He was 12 years old when he went boar hunting and got attacked and gored by a boar. Anyway, I digress. This is a extremely strong knife built for a purpose that, man, I challenge you to tell me something more rough on a knife than sticking it in a charging, you know, 300-pound boar. No stick tang knife is gonna stand up to that, or at least you're not gonna want the doubt of having a stick tang knife. Here it is full thickness right at the, where the guard and the blade meet the handle, and that is usually the weakest point of a knife. And you've got that full thickness. I've never taken the handle scales off of this to see if there's any weight relief in the middle. I don't think those weight relief pockets reduce the strength of a knife by much, if any. But something tells me that is a full tang, meaning not only a true full tang, but no pockets. I'm pretty sure there are no pockets just from the weight. But I should take it apart and see. Do I want to? Not really. But you can take these apart just in case blood or viscera or any other sort of material seeps in the middle there. You don't want it to rust. This is a 1095 blade, but they did use that acid rain treatment, and you can see a bit of a hummoon there. Pretty cool. Very classy package. This one does not get as much attention from me as do my other knives, but I always, you know, look at it and marvel at it. It's a very cool knife. They made a black version of this with a kydex sheath, which looks nice, but just nothing quite like this leather. This and the look of that gray blade with that leather. Very nice, but would make a great tactical knife. I know the Russians have a design exactly like that that's used for tactical, you know, military purposes. So if you fancy that, you can get the black version of this with the kydex sheath, and you're good to go in the tactical sense. Okay, next up is another custom. This is from one of my favorites, Dirk Pinkerton. I love his designs, you know, for production, and I love his custom handmade work. This is the Cave Bear in a great sheath. This is the Cave Bear, such a beautiful Pakal-style knife. Or maybe you just call it a double-edged Persian knife if you hold it like this. But to me, this is all day long a Pakal-style knife, double-edged and beautifully ground by Dirk Pinkerton. He just does a stellar job behind the grinder. Very well respected by his peers for that skill, freehand skill at a grinder. Super sharp. Now, something about this that... it's similar to the hog hunter there, or to the wild pig hunter. This is a knife that is meant, it's going to sound ugly, but there's no good way to put it. This is meant to go into a moving target that's not cooperative. And that's the last place you want your knife to break or to snap at the handle. And so that full tang, full profile tang, meaning it's coming all the way down, all the way around. Everything you see there, if you remove that handle scale, is metal. And that is just going to give you the strongest results. Do I think that my Stick Tang Boon 2 that I showed you is going to just break? No. Do I think that that Cable Tang Notches is just going to break? No. But the full assurance of that full tang with something like this is, man, it's extremely welcome. This is also a great excuse to show off this knife in particular, which I just find it's just beautiful. It is a beautiful knife, so well ground and so symmetrical. And then with that black blade paired with the happy handle, it just, I don't know, something about that just is so pleasing. So this is definitely one of my full tang favorites. The Cave Bear. I know it comes up a lot, but what am I supposed to do? Not talk about it? All right, next up, from Murray Carter, the great and powerful Murray Carter. He is a very interesting dude. Came from Canada at 18, moved to Japan, and paired himself up with a local, the local knife maker, the local smith. They not only made knives, they made tools, actually primarily tools, but while there, he learned a 750-year-old process and became the 40th in a line, 700 years long in that town, making the tools and the knives. And the knives are astounding. This is made with a very old style of steel folding. Here, Murray Carter. This was a gift from Murray Carter himself, which I'm very, very grateful for. And this was the knife he had around his neck when I first met him at Blade Show. I remember because I was peeping it. And after I spoke with him on the show, he ended up sending this to me. And man, it is a beauty. But he has an interesting setup at his shop where he has numerous apprentices, and they are all great knife makers in their own right. They come into his shop and learn his ancient techniques and perfect them, and then make designs all sort of harmonizing with his designs. So they make versions of his neck knife and versions of his other knives, but they put their own personal spin on it and their own personal stamp on it. So it's coming out of the Carter Custom Cutlery Forge, but it's by a different knife maker. This one is by the man himself, and so it's a it is a great honor to have this knife, especially considering it was his, and it was good enough for him to wear around his neck. And I should say, carry. It's not a fashion item. Look at the waves in that steel. Just beautiful. This is one of probably my most valuable knives, come to think of it. And then the way that full tang is incorporated so perfectly, it feels like one material. If I'm not looking at it and I rub my hands around like this, that red carbon fiber, those black and red spacers, it all feels like one solid piece. This is truly an astounding knife. I mean, it is something. This is for me personally, this is a once in a lifetime knife. This is worth a lot of money, and I'm not sure it's so easy to get one of his knives from his atelier. So I'm very, very honored to have this knife. The Murray Carter neck knife. For such a beautiful knife, for such an iconic knife, which it is, it's got a very generic name. It's just the neck knife. So there you have it. All right. Second to last in this list of full tang beauties here is one of my favorites, because this gets a lot of carry. Now, since I've been carrying the Nova 1, I've been much more apt to carry that, but this is the Ruffian by Hogtooth Knives. What do I have to say about this? A harpoon clip point to beat the band. It's 154 cm, deeply hollow ground. It's got that beautiful acid etch. It's got amazing ergonomics, including awesome jimping. If you're a jimping guy, Hogtooth does it exactly right. And it feels great there. This is a true custom in that I ordered it just exactly like this. Some of these other customs, like the Murray Carter or like the Cave Bear, I didn't order. I just bought after they were or acquired after they were made. I did not buy that Murray Carter. So in other words, this one was made exactly how I wanted it. The natural canvas micarta with blue liners for a little bit of pop there, a little bit of contrast. And it just melts in the hand. This knife just melts in the hand. Any grip you want, reverse grip, even in this sort of Pakal grip with the edge in, it feels great. And like this, this is one of those knives that, everyone looks at and they're like, oh, is that a Winkler? And, I think Winkler knives have a certain look, and it's a look that is, it's sort of a universal style. And this to me, I never thought that it looks like a Winkler, but a lot of people think so. And then a lot of people say the same thing about this knife, and they look very, very different. I think it's the long swedge. I think it's the long swedge that gets people to think Winkler knife. Anyway, this is about this knife. 154 cm, as I mentioned, stout as hell, but a light. This is a good carry. This is about the largest I carry on my belt, in the waistband here. And my most watched video is a short, and it's me holding that one. So 5 inches. This is the one that I showed how I carry in the waistband. And people are always asking, what is that knife? So I think I need to do a short just with this knife and mention that video so that can preclude my answering every comment about this knife is. I think it really resonates with people. That long clip, that swedge, and a diamond-like point, which makes it so good at thrusting and breaching materials. Very, very sharp knife. He does great work. You don't need me to say that anymore today, because I'm always talking about Matt Chase. He's also become a friend in this whole process of collaborating on making the Nova 1. So, all right, last up, this one. Let me get it. This is the full tank. If you're wondering what that sound was, if you're just listening, it was me hefting the knife. It wasn't anything else. This is a big, big knife. This is the Work Tough Gear Huzan Predator Hunter Bowie. It's a nearly 2 pound knife. And, I have come to the conclusion that though you could do wicked, nasty damage with it, it is not a fighting knife. It's too heavy. It's kind of like, or it's not a fighting knife for me. You want a knife that you're fighting with to be light and lively in hand. You want to be able to move it where you need to go. You know, especially if you're dueling like I'm doing with the camera right now. This knife is more like a battle axe, you know, a battle axe, very effective in battle, but the recovery after a swing is more than a sword. A sword where you have the weight in the pommel and the tip is moving around, lightly and easily. It's easy to recover after a swing. With a battle axe, it's got all that weight up front. After a swing, it takes a readjustment to swing again. Well, that's kind of what you're dealing with this knife. This is an ultimate. I'm not going to say it's the ultimate, but it's an ultimate outdoor camp, woods knife. For the first time this past weekend when I was out there with the shed knife, doing the feather sticks and making kindling, for my daughter's project, I had this one out and at long last got a chance to, baton with it. And actually what I was doing was not batoning. I did a little bit of that, but what I was doing was setting up the log and just kind of dropping it. And you've got something very interesting here. You've got a long, gradual bevel here that gets extremely thin and sharp, extremely thin for a big knife like this, and very sharp. But you get that wedge-like action at the top, and then you have that fuller in there for rigidity. I don't know. I just think this is a nearly unbeatable knife. But part of it is the handle. The handle is just so perfectly designed with the bird's beak here and the horse hoof pommel here. That extends far beyond the hook where your pinky is, and that allows for this kind of the action. So this stops it right here and gives you just great chopping action. Would I want this with any other tang? I'm not going to put that edge towards my face. Would I want this with any other kind of tang? No way. No way. Because this is, though, about the same length as the Natchez Bowie. This is just screaming out, begging for something other than the fighting purpose. That's that Natchez Bowie is a fighter. This is just, this is an axe replacement. This is, instead of a hatchet, this is what you're going to bring. So full tang is absolutely necessary. And though this is brand new to me, I feel like this one is already a full tang favorite. This and the Tikal Guardian, the Tikal Guardian, which is somewhere. This is also brand new to me, but also makes the list. Since I showed it off before, you know, I'll just go over it again real quickly, but it is a full slab of metal. This one does not have weight relief in the handle. And being so, it's just super strong. I was talking to Tim Kell and he said that he uses his, or recently used his, to pry a fence board back into place. He has a fence with the slats like this, and he had to, one was kind of warped and pushed back behind the others. He stuck his Guardian in there and just, and just, sorry for the sound effect, popped it back into place. And you would not feel confident doing that with a stick tang. So, really for ultimate strength and heft, you know, it does give you a little bit of extra weight in the handle, which can be good. You cannot beat a full tang. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my 11, I guess, favorite full tang knives in my collection. Does this change? Does this rotate? Yeah. There are some times where I like the Prather War Bowie better than that Wild Pig Hunter. But the point is, for fixed blade knives, for me, it's full tang is the way to go. All right. Thanks for joining me on this episode. Be sure to tune in on Sunday for my interview with Tim Kell of Tikal Knives, and becoming a patron Becoming a patron now, you get early access to the interview extras, which are always awesome. I always look forward to the conversations we have after the main conversation, because things come up in the main conversation that I can't get to. And sometimes those are things that I don't want in the wider, broader podcast release. So do check that out. Well, thanks for joining me. And Jim, thanks you as well. For him, Jim, working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying, until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.